Here at The Takeaway, we're watching two countdowns, not only the countdown to the 08-08-08 Olympics in Beijing, China, but also to November in the presidential election, and so is, of course, the campaigns. And they're looking for every vote. They want every vote. And one growing, the growing Latino population could potentially have a huge impact on the presidential elections. In part, that depends on people getting registered and then people going to the polls. The National Latino Congress has launched a huge effort to get those people registered and to inspire them to go to the polls on Election Day. Two of the organizers are joining us now, Alvaro Fernandez in Miami, Florida. Good morning, Alvaro.
Good morning. How are you?
And Jaime Chavez is in New Mexico. Good morning, Jaime.
Good morning to you.
So, Alvaro, let me start with you. In 2004, only 58% of eligible Latino voters were actually registered. Why do you think that is, and what is your strategy as you look towards November to get them on the rolls?
Well, you know, every year goes by, we register more Latinos. The interesting thing here in Florida, for example, for every Latino we register, next year another one pops up. You know, people turn 18, young people turn 18. Mm-hmm. So our work is, in that sense, never-ending, for right now, anyway. And, you know, the importance is, you know, in Florida, for example, a battleground state, we, in, you know, in our opinion, the Latino vote will swing this election, a very close election, as far as polls are telling us here in Florida. So, you know, Latino voters who comprise about 10% of the voters in Florida can, you know, turn the election one way or another.
And that's definitely true, not only for Florida, but also, Jaime, for New Mexico, where in 2004, John Kerry, the Democratic presidential nominee, he lost by 6,000 votes. There were 40,000 Latinos who did not vote. And in the state of Mexico, do Latinos tend to vote as a group for either Democrats or Republicans, or is it far more complicated than that?
Well, it is a little more complex than that. You have a growing immigrant population, of which some can and some can't register. You have to be a U.S. citizen to vote, of course. But there is an emerging population whose kids are turning 18. So you have an 18 to about 39-year-old population that is being focused on. We're working with voters registration group, immigrant group in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Somos Un Pueblo Unido. And they're out there, beating the bushes and getting people involved through voters engagement. And yes, it is critical this year. Last time the issue was won, and quite clearly there was a strategy in New Mexico that caused Mr. Kerry to be delayed without a doubt. The whole issue of abortion and what have you was at the front of issues in New Mexico, because New Mexico, for the most part, is still a Catholic state and somewhat conservative now, and so that message, the broader message, was not able to resonate now. And so down in places like the Permian Basin, oil country, there was a different message that was getting out. So, you know, you got to be on time, and you got to be able to motivate this population as well.
And Alvaro, what are the issues that you're seeing in Florida? I mean, Florida is a big state. You have Latinos from all over the world. I mean, obviously, first generation, second generation, third generation. But they come from all over the world, even.
Right. Well, the issues are like most anywhere in the country. The economy is number one, followed by things like education, healthcare, and immigration plays a role, but it's not the number one issue. It's important. Don't get me wrong. It's important, but it's not, you know, we're like any other community around the country. We're interested and we're, you know, worried about our jobs and how we're going to pay for our groceries.
Jaime and Alvaro, in earlier discussions, you mentioned that there's really been a sea change in this election. And you also described that there have been impediments in the past for bringing people to the polls and getting them registered. I'm wondering if there's any way to tell at this point how the newly registered voters are breaking for one party or the other. Do you think people who believe this is a new time and I really want to get involved are breaking more Democrat, or do you think they're breaking more Republican?
Well, I can give you a breakdown of how our registrations are going, and, you know, and it, for every six voters we're registering, and these numbers are, you know, ours. For every six voters we're registering, three are going Democrat, two are going no party at all or independent, and one is registering Republican.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Was that surprising to you at all?
It's surprising. In the past, it's been a little bit different. It's been more Republican, followed by, you know, more no party, which was an independent type of voter, with Republicans and Democrats, splitting the rest of the vote.
And Jaime, in New Mexico, in that order of what's important to the voters there, does it look very similar to the folks in Florida? Is immigration higher up there just because the Southwest has been dealing with it in a way that down south in Florida they haven't?
Well, we're a border state without a doubt. The issues of ICE raids and immigration and the issue of the border wall are very critical to people, and we've also seen, for example, in some of the evangelical churches, some of the Mexican churches, there's been kind of 4 years ago there was a gung-ho attitude is we're going to vote this way, but we've seen that there's a hesitation now because the ministers in those churches are concerned about the separations of family. It's more up in the air now as to where which way they're going to be voting. Particularly on that immigration question, but as Alvaro mentioned, many of the issues, the mainstream issues, and particularly the issue of the economy, is what's on people's mind right now.
The economy, the economy, the economy. Alvaro Fernandez in Miami, Florida. Thank you, sir. Jaime Chavez in New Mexico. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
They are voter registration organizers for the National Latino Congress.
It's a really interesting stats on how those votes are breaking. Of course, it's a small sample, but still it's very interesting. And the change is interesting.
No question. Yeah. We'll take a look at that story again.
We are always on here at The Takeaway, self-deprecating humor or not. You can find us online, streaming at Friend Feed on Facebook. Come around to thetakeaway.org and visit. There are thousands of emails telling me never to imitate Arnold Schwarzenegger ever again.
But you do it so wonderfully,
oh, yeah.
John.
Oh, yes. No, I was bad today.
Everybody knows that people complain about incumbents, but then the people still vote for them. Why is that? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
And the takeaway for today?
When you fly to Alaska, you land at Ted Stevens International Airport.
That was Marty Cady from Political.com talking about the influence of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens after his indictment yesterday.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Cuba. It's been 2 years since Fidel Castro had to step down from power. Since then, his brother Raul has made things like cell phones and DVDs legal in moves that some say will bring the island nation closer to the outside world.
And he's done it in quick order, as a matter of fact. We want to hear from you. What's next for Cuba, do you think? What should U.S. policy be? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Yeah, incumbency in Cuba. There's an interesting concept. Anyway, I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji.